Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ba-da, ba-da-da-da, boom-boom, ba-da, ba-da, Monday, Monday, ba-da, ba-da-da, still good to me, ba-da.
You know who's funny?
Beatboxing to Monday, Monday?
Yeah, you know, that was very popular with the mamas and the papas.
Monday, I ruined the bit.
Last week, you know, before we have to start the show, yes, we have to make sure we have all our recorders going. Pony records. I have two recorders over here, and of course,
why we record? It's redundancy, like a 747.
Exactly, exactly, mm-hmm. Mike. And one of the things we have to make sure is that our Ustream recording is going. And we had a small awkward moment, Maddie and I did last Monday, where I was waiting for her to say that everything was okay, and she nodded at me, and
yes,
she sort of blinked and nodded, and I told her, I said, I need a thumbs up, because that's what we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
Every intern, every person who's...
Consistency.
That's how Matt started doing it. And so now when she does a thumbs up for me, it's a mocking thumbs up.
Oh, so could you, for my edification, could you show me the... Could you duplicate the mocking thumbs
exactly
up that she gives you?
Because what happens is I say, Pony, are we good? And he mm-hmm says yes, and I kill all the mics, and I look over to Maddie, and she goes...
Sure am.
Sure is, you big stupid idiot.
Can Maddie come over by the camera so I can see Maddie do
sure
it?
Yeah, please, Maddie. Give us a little bit of a presentation.
I'd really like to see Maddie's mocking thumbs up. That's great.
I love that.
I'm so glad I asked her to do that.
Go
because
on,
that
big
is
stupid
like,
idiot.
You a-hole. There we go. There you go. Well, you know, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Happy Monday, everybody. I guess you guys are had a nice weekend up there in Washington, D.C.
Lovely weekend.
Yeah.
Played very
soccer
nice.
Yesterday. It was
me
nice
too.
I'm very, very excited about the political landscape that something's coming true that none of us ever expected
yeah
to come true.
So I bet against it.
Yeah, we all did.
I think everybody did in the nation. Mm. I think everybody did. And it's interesting. It's I haven't gotten to the stage yet where I'm having any kind of real night terrors, but I think I might get there.
As he said,
sure,
Mike, we're all going to be tired of winning. That's how
yes
great it's going to be.
That do you find these similarities between the Trumpster and Arnold Schwarzenegger? Because that is exactly something back in Arnold's heyday that he would have said, and you're going to get tired of winning. And you're going to say, I'm so tired. You're going to say, I'm so tired of winning all the time because I can't stand it. You've got to stop. You've got to stop because my movies are so incredibly successful.
That's right.
Don't you should.
And you're going to say, anyway, I want to get another ticket. And there's such a long line.
We will have a political persuasion show coming soon. It will be taped next week. And I am putting out the word for all of you. I'd like to have people to talk to. So if you are somebody I really, really, really like to put out the call for a Trump supporter, if you're somebody who sincerely, not mockingly, if you're somebody who sincerely supports Donald Trump for president, I'd love to chat with you. It would be a lot of fun. It would be very, very interesting. So if you would like to do that, send it to anyone.
Okay.
Absolutely anyone. You know, but remember, not mocking.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to have him on.
Yes.
But anyway, so
well, he's going to be in spring training. So
it was. It was. Well, he's got a phone. So what I would like to do, is if you're interested, if you are really a legitimate Trump guy, please send me an email and tell me why you'd like to be on the show. Political persuasion. Send it to politics@MikeO'MaraShow.com. That's politics@MikeO'MaraShow.com. Because we're shooting for a next Tuesday morning taping. Tuesday lunchtime taping
right
of the political persuasion show, and I would really, 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 really like to get buttoned up who I'm going to have on the show. It's not a massive time commitment. I'll take maximum 20 minutes of your time, and I'd love to have you on political persuasion. We're going to get people from all different corners, and I want to hear everybody's perspective, and of course, my unvarnished take on things, which you won't hear here. You're going to hear, you hear a little bit of it here, but you'll hear most of it.
Well, Mike,
on
this,
the,
this version of the show has so much varnish.
Yes.
And what you want is to do away with the varnish. And
this show is so polite, so please see, so politically correct.
Now, we're here to bring the funny.
We like to be
funny. We are here to bring the funny, and that's why the chief in charge of joy bringing, Mr. Rob Spiewak, who never, ever stops giving. It's constantly give, give, give. And that's why I want to hear all about the fact that he did his 1,000th middle school. By the way, his kids who have been in middle school,
forever.
The last I checked, 11 years.
Mike,
he's been doing
this. You're playing fast and loose with the details. This was an elementary school talent show.
Rob, please to excuse me for one
God.
Minute. Bye, Frankie. Bye, Beluga. Go enjoy your grooming. Beluga, don't scream too much. Wuss.
Excuse us. Anyway,
they don't like to be groomed.
Just doing a show.
Grooming is like a day of beauty.
No, when he's groomed, he screams. Screams. Have you ever heard a pug scream?
No.
Let me see if I can find one for you before we get started with your talent show. Let me go to YouTube. I guarantee there is a pug screaming on YouTube.
They're not an exceptionally vocal breed. Now, the husky, that's a vocal breed.
Oh, you are so yes.
Be prepared for YouTube to burn us.
Yeah, well, it always does. Let's see what happens here, okay? All right, here we go.
Sweet, nice babies in
all right, there are the sweet pugs in the car.
Yep.
This is wonderful. They're driving along. This is already the beginning of the YouTube burn with the too-long setup.
Mm-hmm. Feel the burn.
The too-long setup. Let's see what we've got. Oh, 2 minutes and 56 seconds. Okay, so that means we're going to have 45 minutes of pugs that are just driving along. Let me skip ahead and see what's going on.
I'm using the fast-forward
feature. Yeah, fast-forward. Yes, important.
Or in the old days, I called it cute.
Speeding them out. What's going on?
Pugs are screaming.
You'll be right back.
All right. And Oscar correctly assesses the video from YouTube at the top of the heap with the most views. With the most views. Because let's put that. All right. Dog loses it.
The breed.
All right. Dog loses it after finding out he's at a pet store. I'd say this has got more potential. Let's see.
All right. Here
what
we go.
Happens.
Hey, buddy. We're at PetSmart.
YouTube. Okay, thank you very much. That's it. I'm done. No, really. Hey, buddy. Hey, I'm going to talk on the funny video that's so great. I'm going to post it on YouTube.
Doesn't it
even
give
though
you
it really
hope,
sucks.
Mike? What if you actually recorded the audio you wanted, put it on YouTube? Imagine the views.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? That, and this is the absolute truth, that is a task I have never. I've picked them up and maybe dropped them off. I have never been in the pet store like Carla has when Beluga has had his full-fledged meltdown.
Mm.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text her, and I'm going to tell her,
give her some homework.
Please record the screen.
Now,
she's too busy. She's going off to do all her things. She'd have to linger. You have to stay there when they take him back behind the glass into the gas chamber. You know, back there. What?
It's not a gas chamber. Quit speaking like you're hoping.
Doesn't it look like, seriously, when you go to PetSmart and or Petco or whatever?
Yeah,
or
I know
Pet World or the World of Pets or Poops or Us, whatever the name of the place is. When you take the dog back there, doesn't it look like a curtain should part and that's where you have the witnesses to the death chamber?
Where three people all like have to push a button so they don't know who actually activated the electric chair.
Right.
Because otherwise they'll just wake up screaming in the middle of the night.
I like watching the doggy car wash. Sometimes they have them up front.
Yeah,
and it's a plexiglass.
Well,
but
you don't usually
partition.
Get to see the wash; you get to see the clipping and the other stuff. Yeah,
I have a video here that says "pug going crazy."
No, you're doubling down
for a bet. Will this be a visual or will this be sound?
This will be sound, but you're still gonna hate it.
Yeah,
okay,
this is not
gonna
work.
Let's see what happens here. There's the pug on the ground. Pug is looking like it's going to do absolutely nothing.
Mm.
It's a visual.
Oh,
yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
This is getting embarrassing. Mike, walk away from the table.
It's a visual. I'm sorry.
Wait.
That's it.
Wait, the casino owner
exactly
has just brought
on.
Him a marker.
Yeah.
He just brought him a marker.
All right.
Get me the pit boss.
Can we please scan your one card, please, sir?
I'm going
to. You just hand me your one card, then we can scan it. Make sure you get credit for all these times on YouTube.
Right. Yeah, also YouTube comped.
Oh no! Now he is hypnotized.
He is.
At the slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going high dollar?
I can't begin to describe how YouTube is the land of garbage.
Oh, it's the worst.
Truly, yeah.
It really is bad.
You can't do this. And by the way, the pug losing it that didn't lose it is everywhere. It is
people copying
everywhere.
It. Yeah, people love it.
Absolutely everywhere. So enough of that. So anyway, Rob, you went to the talent show. Tell me all about your talent show.
It was the
now
elementary school talent show.
Disappointed.
No, you're fine. And the thing is that we've done the middle school talent show, and that went well because you're dealing with kids that are starting at the sixth grade, and they've got a little more presence of mind, and they know what they're doing. But at the elementary level, they're sort of without that filter. And also at the elementary level, no one is turned away. If a kid wants to do an act, we let them do an act.
Any kids with helmets on?
There was no kids with helmets. Thank you for asking. And most of the kids were great.
That's pretty harsh right there. there was lots of
singing, couple dancing acts. The one act I was most excited about, and I'll spare his name, was the magic act. And he had a simple trick prepared.
Excuse us?
That was our opening act in Act 2.
You have to let it go.
That is a pug screaming.
Ready to go?
That is a pug. Found it. You know I wouldn't get
down
with this.
Calm down. Calm down.
There you go.
What is going on over there? Jesus.
That was a second grade talent show
I thought I could share that with you. I really did.
When we move along.
All right. Let's go. Hold on.
Railroad us when he's telling us no.
I can do whatever I want. It's my show. All right.
Oh, that's right. But even
sit
down. It's your show.
Buddy, give me a high five. Give me a high five if you want to go.
Even still, it's a hollow victory because the guy's talking during it.
Yeah, he's messing up
the
video.
So you were at a talent show with people with helmets.
That's right.
He said no helmets.
There was lots of stunt work.
I heard that. I was kidding.
And it was all going well until the magic act came out. And the trick was, it's a simple trick. It's a simple actor's trick, Mike, where he takes a glass of sugar, puts a hollow cylinder over it, and when he pulls it up, the sugar becomes a glass of M&M's.
Oh.
Okay? It's a simple, what I think they're called sleeve tricks, where the glass, I don't, spoiler alert.
It may
alert.
Be simple to you, but to the kids.
Spoiler alert.
You're a sentence finisher, though. Why did you have to say it's a sleeve trick and ruin the poor lad's trick on this show? And reveal his magic
secret. I'm saying.
I know what a
alert.
Sleeve trick is. Means there's on the outside is the sugar, and then on the inside, when you pull the sleeve down, when you collapse the sleeve, are the M&Ms.
Right.
What a cruel
exactly.
Thing
well,
that
I,
is.
I don't mean to be cruel, but we were excited because among singing and dancing, there was only two acts that were like really, really standouts for me. The magic act and the kid that told jokes.
Yes.
And I liked the kid that told jokes, and I liked the magic act. And we had music for him. So he came
that's
out.
That's good.
Yeah. And I said, the amazing Pony Boy. His name was not Pony Boy. And he came out, and he did the setup. Well, because you're handy.
All right.
You're just here. And he does the setup.
I could be a magician.
And he puts out all of his items, and he says, this is an ordinary glass of sugar, and it's going to turn in to candy before your very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the sleeve over it and starts to do magic hand motions.
Yes.
And I'm backstage with the director, and we're saying, this is going to kill. It did occur to us that it never worked in rehearsal, but he kept telling us that it was going to work.
Okay.
And so we went with it. We said, you know what? If you think it's going to work, it's going to be great. He's a fourth grader, and he keeps doing the magic hand motions, and he does the first attempt, and he lifts the cylinder, and the sugar stays in the cylinder, and he puts it back down. And all the time, this music is ringing throughout the cafeteria.
You got the music for him? You were responsible for the music? That's very sweet.
And so he puts it back down, and he does more hand motions and picks up the cylinder and nothing. And he puts it back down.
No.
And more magic hand motions. And now he's going like even more. And what's amazing at this point, I can see the audience from where I am. They're into it. They think he's really making them wait on it.
Right.
And
right.
He's over the cylinder, and he claps his hands. And he rubs them together, almost like Mr. Miyagi. And he does more magic hand motions. And then, to audible gasps from the audience, he picks up the cylinder, and nothing happens.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure the amount of time that has passed is about 45 seconds.
Feels like an
but
eternity.
It feels like an hour. And I look at the director, and she looks back, and we do what anyone would do in this situation. We shrug because we didn't plan for this.
No, you gotta get the little kid dressed up as
you
a clown.
You have no
and come
out.
Out with a cane and
and there is
no
and
out.
There is no out. And so he maybe
so
tries
his little magic sleeve didn't work at all.
Like two more times he does it, and I just bite the bullet. And this is what you dread. I step out.
Oh, my God.
And there is first maybe two people clapping, then four, then a smattering, and then polite applause. And I do my best to play the kid off. And I say,
is the kid devastated?
The kid doesn't care. The kid was remarkably Teflon about it. I thought this kid was going to have to go to counseling. So we kill the music.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's why he's not a true performer.
And I come out and I say, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The only main regret I have about this is that you did not see this young man in rehearsal, because he dazzled and amazed us every time. His magic skills are beyond belief, and it's just a shame you did not get to see them tonight. Let's hear it for Matt Bloom. And the crowd explodes, and he walks off the same way he walks on, not caring.
Without any. Well, now, wait a minute. Do you know that? Was he not caring, or did he just not show that he
no,
cared?
No, we actually spoke to him during intermission. He was just.
What's the problem with
the kid? He was just sort of like, eh. I think the problem with the kid was the parents. Because the parents
now,
said,
why would that be? I'd like to examine this. That was the answer, by the way, I was looking for.
Because
are the parents
in
kind
auditions?
Of,
the parents said, "Well, how much time does he have?" And we say, "Well, each student is limited to 100 seconds, a minute 20." And they said, "Well, that's only time for one trick. He has dozens of tricks. He could carry this show." And I said, "Well,"
they said that to you.
I hand to God, I quote, and they said. And when
so
he
you are joyful. That's why you're bringing this to
maybe
this
a little bit. And I,
sure.
But I feel not bad. I feel bad for the kid, but I wish that the
fourth
parents
grade.
And also.
And you helped them out.
Also, the parents said, and if you want, he can show up with cape and top hat. And we said, that would be fantastic to have a kid come out. And he came out in jeans and a sweatshirt. There was what? No effort. And so he didn't care. We spoke to him at intermission. He says, sometimes it just doesn't work. But it
what
was.
What a good attitude.
But as. And I went backstage and I talked to the director. I said, Christy, that was really, really tough. And she says, it's amazing. And I said, what? She says, well, it didn't work in rehearsal, and it didn't work on stage either. Why did we think it would work? And I said, I don't know. But we played him off. But as a host, there are very few harder situations to be in, especially when you think you're going to be making a kid spend the rest of his life in therapy.
What was the
well, you know,
with
thank God it's at an elementary school. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it wouldn't have played, Mike. It wouldn't have played at the National Theater.
Well, let's go
that.
Right to the tape. Let's go right to the tape of the winner, shall
okay,
we?
Yeah, please.
I want to make some noise with real life airplane.
Now see, singing.
Someday I'm going to fly.
Not fancy, just a straight ahead. What was the name? What was the name of this student?
It was the Amazing Screw. Was his name?
No. The name of the winner. What was the name of this student?
Oh, this one that's singing now.
Yeah,
with Shirley Temple.
I'm the good ship. Lollipop, it's the sweet.
What a great show it was. What is the name of this show?
What an old soul.
She was an old soul. And you know what? Amazing talent. She was actually a third grader, but her age, 82.
Yeah. Perfect attendance. I couldn't get the pugs to scream, but I got Shirley Temple in short
why
order.
Do you, why do you do these shows?
Actually, because I hate to say this, Oscar. At this point, it's because I enjoy it. Ugh. I love watching the kids out there. I think it's so much fun.
Don't you ever feel like a little, not pedophilic, but
no, the word you're looking for after the kid screwed up his magic trick, I felt a little suicidal.
No.
That's the word you're looking
but
for.
But you don't have any kids in elementary school.
I have two kids, not an elementary school
anymore.
Yeah,
but now you're showing up to an establishment with a lot of kids that aren't your kids.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's fun. You know what? You can look into
I forgot both these kids are out of
and
he's still doing
and
it.
And he's still going back for more.
It's time to move on.
Is it?
It's time. Yeah, it's time to move on.
You know, Mike.
You're the creepy uncle.
Yeah,
if you're going
say it every year that you know, I'm going to get out, but it's just, you know, when award season starts, it's just they keep sucking me back in. It's the dazzle of showbiz, Mike.
Yeah, it's a shame. That's a shame. Oscar, we gotta work on getting that live show.
Look at this.
The boy needs an outlet, okay? I want to channel that energy into something positive for us.
You don't get out. You don't turn, look, the ignition in your car, you turn off the car and you sit there in your car and you say, wait, this might be a little weird. Not at all.
No, it's fine. And Mike, when we do the live show, my magic trick is gonna work.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it's gonna be Rob and two Catholic priests.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Come on, Billy.
I'm going to show you the bathroom if I can remember where it is.
Well, at least he hasn't changed.
No, he's still impossible.
Well, you finally made it. This is my mother.
Hi.
This is Bill Ray.
Hello.
I think I saw a bear.
No. Huh? You couldn't have seen a bear up here this time of year. There are some rather nasty moths flying around, though.
No, this was a little big for a moth.
If you really want to be scared, well, you meet my father.
Hey, Dad!
Hey, Billy!
Dad, they do have indoor plumbing here.
Oh, great.
Chelsea was just bullshit.
I like to paint a rather rustic picture of life on Golden Pond.
Oh, it's rustic, all right.
That's lovely, though. It's lovely rusticity.
Yeah, we've been peeing indoors for 40 years.
You must be Norman.
Yeah, must be. Who are you?
Bill Ray.
Bill Ray?
Yes, sir.
The dentist?
Yes, sir.
Want to see my teeth?
Love your house.
How are you? It's not for sale.
I don't want to buy it. I just like it. Well, how does it feel to turn 80?
Twice as bad as it did turning 40.
Are there any bears around here?
Oh, sure. Black bears and grizzlies. One came along here last month and ate an old lesbian.
Oh. I'm sorry. Right. Chelsea's still in the water. You should go on down. Uh-huh. No one should skinny dip alone.
Right. What is that over there?
That's a lawn chair.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mike O'Mara Show. We are live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We are on the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you're here, ladies and gentlemen, you do too. Our show today brought to you by the Ring Doorbell. I cannot tell you how much I am enjoying my Ring Doorbell. When you hear the doorbell ring and you have a regular doorbell, it doesn't do anything for ye. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Ring Doorbell, ladies and gentlemen, is something truly special because the Ring Doorbell does a lot more than an average doorbell. You will absolutely love the Ring Doorbell because one of the best things about it, and they tell you about 95% of home break-ins happening during the day. Burglars usually start by ringing your doorbell. With the Ring Doorbell, you get to see if there's somebody that's legit, and mm-hmm. They're trying to see if somebody's home. You can see them whether you're home or not. With the Ring Video Doorbell, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world. It's about the size of an iPhone. Just by using your smartphone, you can see who's there. If someone doesn't ring your doorbell, Ring's advanced motion detection alerts will let you know. It's like caller ID for your front door. The Ring Video Doorbell lets you talk to delivery people and keep an eye on your package, and you can also record the people when they come to your door. And somebody rings that bell. Carla does it with my son for fun.
Yeah.
She'll ring the doorbell if I'm not at home, and we will record it, and then we will play it later, and I will look at I Love You, Daddy, up at the front door.
Cool.
I love this thing. And, you know, by the way, I just signed up for a year of Ring Doorbell where I'm going to keep it for recording all of my visitors at the doorbell. I get to use that for an entire year. You can put your mind at ease and protect your home with the Ring Video Doorbell. It's named a top 10 gadget by both Time Magazine and USA Today. Our listeners get free expedited FedEx shipping. A couple of you have told me already that you got the Ring Doorbell. All you have to do is go to ring.com/TMOS. Remember, that's ring.com/TMOS. With the Ring Video Doorbell, you're always home. So go to ring.com/TMOS and rest easy, my friend. And I just love it. It's like, hi, Daddy.
That's so cool. The neatest thing is the motion detection. So even if someone doesn't ring your doorbell and they're just up to no good,
it's great for security.
You can check it out.
Very cool. I get an alert and I check and I said, oh, it's the, it's basically snow blower. If you'd had the Ring Doorbell, you probably would have gotten
your snow
blower stolen.
Yeah, because they probably
knocked
on that door and nobody answered. They said, well, it's time to steal this thing.
That's right. Got it.
I have to start the show today with a wonderful, wonderful website that I went to. I'm going to identify it for you right now because this was so much fun for me over the weekend when I was just surfing. And it applies so beautifully. It's so extensive. I think they've got literally everything on this list that that applies to me when I was growing up in the 1970s. The title of the thing is 28 Reasons Children of the 70s Should All Be Dead. It was just so It was so perfect. It was so perfect. I've talked about the trips up to Maine in the back of the station wagon with the windows rolled up and both of my parents smoking their Kent cigarettes.
Ugh, nice.
You know, and jostling around. We're going 75 miles an hour on the Maine Turnpike with the, you know, it's like, are we there yet? My father takes a big drag. You know, quiet, we'll be there soon. You know, and says, so eat your ice cream. But it goes on and on and on. And, you know, the funniest line my sister ever had is years ago, we were taking my mom out to dinner, and it was a question of when the table was going to be ready, and it was the smoking section or the non-smoking section, back when they had them in restaurants.
Exactly.
And we walked in, and she said, what does it matter? Don't you remember those trips in the car?
Yeah.
So the secondhand smoke that we lived with. But this is really spectacular about the 70s. You know, that's the obvious one that everybody talks about. Nobody used seatbelts in the 70s. In the 1970s, nobody had them. You know, I was in the back of a car.
I remember very carefully folding up the seatbelt and tucking it away so it wouldn't be in the way when you drove in the car. Yeah, because
quite a few 70s vehicles did come with seatbelts fitted, but state laws didn't require you to use them until the 1980s or even the 90s. So there weren't even state laws in place for seatbelts.
And they only had the one strap on the
lap belts on the front seat.
Right?
Yeah, so you would be essentially, if the wreck didn't kill you, the seatbelt would.
My parents' first car only had those. I remember that. But I got here on the Pinta. Not the Santa Maria, on the Pinta in 1983.
The number one reason that I brought this list to you today was the number two item on here, because this is the toy safety standards that they're talking
about.
All right. And right there, the first thing they showed me was an ad for the ThingMaker toy featuring Fright Factory. We called it Creepy Crawlers.
Yes.
And Oscar, Creepy Crawlers were a...
I know what they are.
In.
Yeah,
you
I
know what creepy
yes,
crawlers are.
I do.
Where you plug it into the wall, and it is a white hot plastic molding device that children were left to their own devices,
Mike,
to use.
Wednesday, Mattel just announced the ThingMaker 2.0. 2016 edition, where they're going to start selling in December, maybe November, December of the fourth quarter. They're going to start selling a 3D printer for kids to make the ThingMaker.
That is so much different than inhaling the toxic fumes
of glue,
of the plastic, plastic.
Because it's not that
crawlers.
Much different than taking the Green Army men and putting them on the stove, because you're really just making
exactly
hot
the
plastic.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know what they always say when there would be a fire, what kills people? Toxic smoke. And there's nothing better than the black smoke pouring out of this thing. Creepy crawlers allowing kids to mold their own spiders and bugs out of plastic while inhaling potentially deadly toxic fumes and burning themselves on an electric-powered hot plate that reached 350 degrees.
It was 350?
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
it was 350 degrees.
Little kids were plugging this in.
Oh, my God.
Also, at the same time, right around that same time, we had the Easy Bake Oven.
That's true, but that was only powered by a light bulb, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. But it was still, you know, there was burn factor because you were heating something enough to bake the cake.
And you
could, you know,
grab the light bulb.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. And not to mention, probably the most dangerous thing were the preservatives put in the Easy Bake cake mixes.
Now, you said you guys had them, but they were banned in the late 70s. Creepy crawlers.
I remember playing with one of my brother's friends, ThingMaker.
Yeah, it was called
leftover in the
attic. Yeah, it was leftover. I said, oh, my God, you can make something out of this. And I remember plugging it in with my brother. My brother was older, but he said,
ThingMaker.
We were trying to figure out how to use it. And I looked at it. I said, this thing looks dangerous.
Yeah. Scary stuff.
Kids, I talked about, they have secondhand smoke. Here's another thing that I didn't remember. Sunblock was non-existent. There was no sun. And I remember that. Coming back in the summer, you had the skin peeling and, you know, it was norm. That was the norm. There were not sunblocks back in the 70s. Peeling skin, a totally normal accompaniment to arriving back at school after summer. The idea of using sun protection, even for tiny kids, or a long day on the beach was a total novelty, and sun creams marketed for kids were usually around the SPF 4 mark.
There was an old product.
So it was just a bunch of goo that really didn't do much
good. There was an old product called Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, and their motto was get twice the tan in half the time. So it wasn't even sunblock. It was cancer accelerant is what it was.
Right.
So, I mean, that's no good. You can't be using Tanya. Twice the tan.
Little kids could play out of sight for hours. I did. And parents often delegated the task of watching toddlers to not much older siblings.
Seen it in action. Yeah. Wes, look after little Robbie.
They go on, kids rode in the back of flatbed pickups. Lawn darts were a popular toy. Thousands of injuries and three children's deaths before they were banned in 1988. They waited all that long.
Wow.
Helmets were for losers. Nobody wore helmets. You didn't have helmets on the bicycles. Kids' playgrounds were more adventurous. They had concrete a lot of times, or gravel as opposed to the soft, spongy stuff that's there. The towers on some of these playgrounds were super high.
Still have the spinning merry-go-rounds?
Yes.
That are just, because those are really
were lethal.
Spinning wheels of death.
I broke my arm when I was a kid off of one of those jungle gyms because it was on top of concrete. And when I fell down, I remember laying on my back, and that was it. It was curtains.
Curtains for Oscar.
Back in the 1970s, in that day, it was normal to have at least one friend in a plaster cast at all times. This was considered a fun opportunity to cover the cast with graffiti.
Remember it.
I did.
Rather than a sign of negligent parenting. Concussions and stitches were also a regular part of childhood fun times, everybody. They were marketed in station wagons. The cargo areas of station wagons were marketed as free-form play areas for children.
Yeah,
they were. They were actually sell these cars saying it's a player. There's an ad here, a magazine ad says the rear of the wagon is a play area. That's exactly what it was called.
Yeah. The play area.
Not only were kids driven around without seatbelts or car seats, they were also plopped into the back seat of a station wagon. The ad I'm looking at, I am not kidding you, has about a 5-year-old, about a 3-year-old, and an infant just laid out on a blanket on the flat part of the station wagon, driving along, no problem. Let's go 80. No problem at all.
And you also remember the back of station wagons oftentimes had a third row, but it was rear facing.
Yeah.
Which is another invitation to death because, you know, it's just there's no seatbelt, of course.
Well, and also the way that the cars were built then, that was the crumple zone.
Exactly. The child is the crumple zone.
Yeah. Well, I would have been horrible if I hadn't had my kids back there. Lead paint was only banned for toys in 1977, which is fine because kids never put toys in their mouths. That never happened. Lead paint also tastes sweet, which meant that kids couldn't get enough of this stuff.
Isn't that right, Pony?
That was fantastic.
Good stuff.
And the last one I wanted to put on here was kids had more opportunity to do illicit things. Because we had all that time.
Yeah.
Boone's Farm, apple wine, and the aforementioned Kent cigarettes. You know, when your parents had four cartons in the drawer, they didn't miss a pack or two.
No,
of course not.
My God, I've been smoking a little bit more than usual.
Let me see if there's anything. Kids ran wild. Well, kids still run wild. Older kids responsible for younger kids. We were encouraged to hitchhike. I remember that.
I do, too.
We were encouraged to hitchhike, not for a long time, but early in the 70s. I remember, you know, I'll just hitch back. I'm going over to Manchester. I'll just hitch back. No problem, Mom. We'll see you
there. But, Mike, ask gas or grass. Everybody pays.
Little Mike.
And stranger danger hadn't been invented yet.
No.
You know, if a stranger came up and gave you an unwrapped lollipop, you're like, whoa, fantastic. Won't that be great? Thanks so much, Petty. That's delicious.
Lucky
all right.
Day.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills. I'll tell you about Carly getting a warning speeding ticket over. Not a ticket. She's got a warning, thank God. And I'll tell you why when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm Maddie, and this is my internship. I experience it 1 week at a time with the Mike O'Mara Show. For 8 hours a week, I sit in the corner of a 2x4 shoebox, playing with the Ustream video and listening to fart jokes. It becomes routine. But even though I thought I had it all figured out, I still find myself questioning multiple dynamics of the show. Why do they do the mailbag on Thursdays? Where does Rofo get his confidence from? Does Mac have any other clothes besides his orange sweatshirt? And why do they call him Pony? And finally, will we ever make it through a show without technical problems again? My investigation is only beginning. I come in every Monday and Thursday to try to find some insight. But, and this is key, I know I'm not the only one with questions. Hit up MikeOMaraShow.com so you can put together the puzzle with me.
I love that! That's awesome!
Nice
yay,
job,
Maddie! Way to go! Fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online?
Sure.
Most sites are too complicated, and once you figure them out, huge fees always seem to magically appear at checkout. That, my friends, is why I use SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the only place I ever go for sports or concert tickets. The app is on my phone, and I love it. SeatGeek has removed all of the hassle of ticket shopping. All of the available tickets from the other sites are in one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. SeatGeek also ranks every ticket based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. You can even find set alerts for upcoming events. You can set them up, and SeatGeek will notify you if ticket prices fall. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, you'll see the full ticket price from start to finish with no surprise fees that pop up on your checkout page. Right now, all of our listeners can get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add promo code, then enter TMOS. Then SeatGeek will send you $20 after your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app right now and use the promo code TMOS and do it today. Speaking of technical issues, Friday was perfect, right?
Yeah, without issue, as a matter of
fact.
They're
not going to tell you otherwise.
Is today
no, they won't.
No.
They won't tell you. They're never going to tell you.
You know, it's so funny when you hear the... It's weird the way when you guys come in and you're talking about... and we'll get to the whole Carla speeding ticket in a second here. But the issue of pedophilia, if you get a chance, please see the movie Spotlight. Set aside some time. It is a long, long movie, but it is the story of the investigative journalist unit of the Boston Globe that broke the story of the pedophile priests in Boston.
And is it a documentary or a drama?
It's a drama, and it's got
a rom-com, Rob. What do you think it is?
Okay, I'm asking if it's a documentary or if it's a story being told. He's having a good time today.
You know, it's nominated, I believe. It up, Pony. See if Spotlight is nominated for an Academy Award. Mm-hmm. It should be. I think it is. And I will tell you something, man. It's stunning to me how certain stories are successfully brushed away. Now, I know this was a big deal. In fact, the Globe, at the end of the movie, they say did 600 stories on pedophile priests. But being a fallen Catholic, a lapsed Catholic, that's the way they describe it, I was fascinated by how amazingly rampant this truly was.
That scandal pushed so many Catholics away from the church, including devout women like my mother that stopped really going to church because she was so disappointed in that cover-up. She followed it, you know, every day in the news, read all the articles, and said that this is not what she signed up for, right?
Right.
It truly was a revisiting of this back in the earlier 2000s. And I will tell you, one of the things that sidetracked this investigation or the publishing of all this stuff was 9/11. And that came along right about the time they were going to break this huge story. And the systemic issue going all the way up to the top. And what they would do, the long and short of it, this is, by the way, been reported in many other cities besides Boston, is that, a priest gets in trouble for doing this in one diocese, and then he will be moved to another diocese. And it was just, I think, Carla said to me, and I didn't have an answer for her at the end of the movie, she said, "Is this still going on?" I said, "Yeah, I believe this is still going on."
Wow.
The nature of the deal, and that is celibacy with priests, lends itself to this. Would you like the statistic that I got out of the movie as far as priests that are really celibate? 50%. 50% of them are actually celibate. It was a stunning... Now, I don't go to Catholic Church anymore, but it made me pause about everything once again, and you just realize how powerful it was. And I grew up in this world. Yeah. I grew up around Catholic priests, and you see this, and it is stunning.
You know what's weird, Mike, and I had never thought of it, is the way the news cycle can really change it around. I had never put it in order that 9/11 would take that off the front pages. That's crazy.
Well, no, it's just this movie rekindled the attitude I had, which there's a moment in time where you're sitting there as even a former Catholic, and I was not a practicing Catholic when all this stuff came down the pike.
Right.
You still have that feeling that, and one of the guys in the movie had this feeling. He said, I was a fallen Catholic, I was a lapsed Catholic, but I thought maybe I'll go back to it someday.
Mm-hmm.
And, that just destroyed all of it for so many people. That and it's just horrible. And what I was thinking about was the fact that This story was huge, what, 10 years ago?
Maybe even a
something
little more.
Something like that.
Maybe 15.
But now it's gone. You don't nearly hear about it. You hear about the Catholic vote. You hear about
the fact that it's still an organization.
Well,
the
turn really came when our new pope, right?
Right.
As far as Catholics are concerned, acknowledged that there was an issue.
Our new pope got put the
yes.
But the new pope, all the press that you're getting about the Catholic Church, like most recently when he had the little battle with Donald Trump, and then the fact that he did this great tour of the United States. But I don't know
he admitted to the actual, because no other pope
there
had
was
it,
a
there,
problem.
There was an issue. He
right.
admitted to that.
And I wonder with that admission whether they're really, I didn't have an answer from my wife when she said, are they making any, have things changed? And still, you don't hear about it anymore.
You don't.
So I don't have an answer for that. I don't know whether that's
kids.
True.
Another
They'd
thing you said
it.
That was so that's horrifying is the fact that when there was a situation, they would swap dioceses or make him go somewhere else. That to me, whether or not it was the way, it gives the impression that it's almost like they had a system in place. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a system in place.
That's what made a lot of people leave, and you're absolutely right.
If you don't have a system, unless there's
their system was, let's move this problem somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom line, let's pay these families, let's move this problem somewhere else.
Smoke and mirrors, distraction, and change. Yeah.
And again, as my mom has gotten closer to the Catholic Church because of this new pope, she feels like the admission and really the overall, if you look at the landscape of the Catholic Church today.
By the way, Spotlight is nominated for an Oscar for the Best Picture this year.
Oh, so Best Picture, okay.
It's already won a couple of awards, and it's an amazing movie, absolutely amazing. Really.
Think about any religion out there. It doesn't matter what it is, but the running joke with Catholic priests is that they touch kids.
Exactly.
That's not a good joke to have.
No,
within
it's a bad.
That's not what people should be referencing when they think of your religion.
I don't want to give everything away from this movie, but within this movie is a... it was a recovery group that was run by a former priest that spent his life counseling these priests that had dealt with this. And what comes out through this movie is just how rampant this is. Mm-hmm. And the point that I'm making, by the way, Cardinal Bernard Law, who was the cardinal and the head of the diocese for Boston, after he resigned from Boston, they moved him to Rome. So once again, you had the guy that knew this was going on and didn't do anything about it, as opposed to booting any of these guys out on their ass.
Right.
He was moved to another location. It seems to me that might still be going on, because this, like anything else, I know it's religion, and I know they do good things in many cases, but you've got a massive corporation, and it's terrifying to me that you've got the inherent issues that come from that one thing, and that is the vow of celibacy. Now, I know I'm going to piss off a lot of Catholics that are hearing this, but the fact is, when I'm listening to this film and I heard the explanation of it, you say to yourself, oh, that's kind of interesting that this is happening. Why do so many of these things happen within the Catholic Church? And I think that they trace it back to that problem, that it's very anti-human
natural,
being to just swear off that primal urge that everybody has. And it was just, God, it was a long movie. In fact, I said that to my wife at one point. I said, this is a long movie, but absolutely riveting. And the resistance that they got during this film for, during the investigation, if it was true, and it's a movie and they dramatized things.
Sure.
But I think they did. It's pretty obvious. They did get resistance from the big old Catholic Church in having this come to light. And I looked at one point and said, this is just like something that you would see in organized crime as far as a cover up. And, as the father of, two daughters and a baby son, I'm looking at this going, God, how do how many people have to be complicit and complicit in this? And when you've got this massive organization, it's like so much evil that happens in the world. As soon as everybody starts covering the asses of it, it
right.
becomes worse and worse and worse. And it was stunning. If there's a movie that you should go out and see to be informed on this, if you know nothing about this and you might be curious like I was, check this movie out, Spotlight, because I'll tell you something. I think really, as a lapsed Catholic, I heard all about this, and it was in the news. It was in the news. It was in the news. And I kind of looked the other way in my own world, going, yeah, this is horrible.
Right.
Hey, stop picking on my old Catholic church. You remember, Rob, I was working with you when this was happening.
Absolutely.
And it's just horrible. And it's really amazing that they had to go through all this to out these guys that had done these horrible things and to keep them in the Catholic Church and move them to another parish.
Yeah.
It just, oh, my God. Sick leaves is what they called it, by the way.
Sick leave.
The day. And there's a database that I happened to Google last night after this movie was over, which will blow you away. All you have to do is Google priests accused of molestation.
Wow.
And there's an entire, there are multiple databases. And we're talking hundreds, if not thousands, of priests that have done this.
Wow.
And so you want to see a movie that's going to make you think. Not a feel-good one.
No.
You're not going to feel super, super great. You're going to come in and yell at Oscar and Pony when you see this. But I will tell you something. My God, man. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. But check it out. Because really one of the better movies
of
the year.
Quick question before we close on it. You talk about how you think, if not a quick fix, certainly a part of the solution would be this vow of celibacy. Do you think the church will ever change that?
No. No.
Never?
Absolutely not. No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel
Tinder
as far
priests?
As that.
But,
Swipe left.
For priests, yeah.
Swipe left,
no,
Your Eminence.
I think it's going to stay. Is your mother still in the Catholic Church?
Oh, she's back in, man. She's back in. She believes in the Pope.
Yeah, she likes to know.
You know what I'd like to know? I'd like to know what's happening right now. And I'm going to kind of investigate that myself and see what's happening, whether there are recent, because it's still happening.
Sure.
It's still happening. I don't know how rampant it is, but I'm curious about that. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Blue Apron. Hey, it's cold outside, so there's no better time to put your warm and cozy kitchen to good use. Blue Apron makes it easy. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money. For less than 10 bucks a meal, Blue Apron delivers all of the fresh ingredients you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and that means no more overwhelming trips to the grocery store and no more sad takeout. No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like chicken schnitzel with German potato salad. We're having that this week.
Mm.
And sauerkraut-style cabbage or acorn squash risotto with fried sage leaves and radicchio salad. Sensational food, unbelievable variety. Plus, you'll be cooking with ingredients you've never used before. All the recipes are between 500 and 700 calories per portion, tasty and good for you. And right now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat, really, the first two meals are on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. All right, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I feel guilty about the whole golf ball debacle, and we'll talk about that in a second here, but
your counterfeit golf balls.
Well, Tripp sent me some, and another listener, you said, Rob, cop to it. I think there are a couple of people that sent me golf balls, and now everybody thinks they sent me the counterfeits, and I didn't need that, and I'm here to say that. I appreciate it, but you didn't need to do that. It's not your fault. I know you weren't trying to send those.
If they would have sent you real ones, this wouldn't be an issue.
That's right.
Well, it was just kind of funny that it's smudged and smeared. speaking of South Florida, down here, we were rolling along the other night. Carl and I are coming back from dinner, and we're on a road called Corkscrew Road down here. It's a straight road. Yeah, straight as an arrow. And we're driving along, and man, did this cop have a spot. It wasn't a lot of light out there. There wasn't any moonlight, and we got on top of this cop. I was riding shotgun. That's a different story. Carla basically won't let me drive anymore.
Any younger, Mike.
Well, see, that's what it looks like, but that's not the reason.
Is it the RR issue?
What's the RR?
The road rage?
Yeah, that's it.
Or is it the DD issue?
What's that?
Designated driver.
Ah, good.
No, because alcohol didn't touch my lips this weekend, so there was none of that. But I will tell you that we're driving along, and she just thinks that she says she gets too uptight when I'm driving. So I actually had to...
You make things tense, do you?
I had to... Yeah, I do.
Oh, how about I've been in the car with you? I've seen it firsthand. I know exactly what she's talking about.
Thank you. Just keep piling on me today.
Hey, you bring it up. I'm just affirming.
Yeah, it's all my fault, too. Okay, so I accept it. I accept it, Oscar. That's right. I'm a miserable person to work with. I pick on your buddy pony who can't even find out if a movie was nominated for Academy Award. I'm just a terrible human being. That's me. Why set my standards high? Why should
I
set my standards high?
I'm just saying that's not his job. You know that's his weakness. Why would you go after his weakness?
When I need something that on the fly and I'm not going to get it, let's designate somebody.
Say, Oscar, will you find that? If my computer's not here, Oscar will do it.
Okay, thank you. I will have Oscar do it. Yes. You know what? You can do that. Very good. So she doesn't like me driving in the car, and she said that I had to actually talk her into driving to the shopping mall yesterday. We're going to Costco.
Okay.
And I had to actually talk her into it. And then when we came out of the community, we have a lady in a minivan who was tailgating me.
Oh.
And I think I can get away. When someone's tailgating me,
yeah,
I'll slow down. It's what I've done forever. I slow down. If somebody's being an a-hole.
It's a good passive-aggressive solution to it.
It is super passive-aggressive, and Mrs. O'Mara knows I'm doing that instantaneously. She knows I'm doing that because I will also do the slowdown, and then I will come to the stop sign, and when I come to the stop sign, I will do the... and I will just do the little extra break there.
Sure.
And she said, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. I said, the lady with... No, it doesn't matter. It's always somebody doing that. It's always somebody... Yes, again. And, you know, by the way, Oscar and Carla ought to just live on an island somewhere. Because it's the same shit that I take from both of them. Like, on a regular basis, you know?
Well, you know,
it's
like,
that generation, you know, of the la-la-la.
While I'm sure you would miss
never
Carla...
Never wrong, always the bad guy. That's it. That's what
I'm sure you would miss Carla if they lived on an island together. But other than that, I'm okay with it.
thank you. I appreciate that. I will pass along your approval. So I know that I did it and I got caught. And so I'm driving along and I'm just defeated at this point.
Right.
So I roll into the right lane on a 45 mile an hour road and I go 45, which to me is silly.
Right.
Because it's a silly speed limit. And but I do it and it kills me, but I do it all the way to the Costco and I'm fine. Later on in the evening, she says, I'd like to drive. I said, you knock yourself out.
Have a blast,
That's
baby.
It. We'll go out to dinner. You knock yourself out. We're coming back. Mrs. O'Mara, little heavy foot. And this highway patrol officer was literally invisible. I did see it because as soon as he put his lights on, we were like, dope. There he was there. And the lights came on and it was amazing. And you know, we knew we were going to get busted. And it takes a long time to catch back up. And Carla did the cool thing where she pulled off into a, you know, a little like abandoned road off to the side of the road.
Right.
So he didn't have to be on the shoulder. And he comes up and he asks for the license and registration. We got everything, got the insurance card. Everything's fine. And he's gone long enough. And I remember the state of Virginia, okay?
Yeah.
If it's a state police officer, which it was, there is no wiggle room. You're done. You're done. As soon as the state gets you, you know, on the side of the road, you're done. It's automatic. And there were two of them. So I said, that's even more proof that we're done. But I forgot the big baby Browns, you know, maybe have a little more impact. If it was me, they'd probably have me in handcuffs. But with Carla... They came back, and he says, listen, we're going to let you – I see you got a clean driving record. Your record has been very, very good. We're going to let you off with a warning, but please be aware of your speed. We've had four Panthers killed on this road.
Mm.
So that was the reason they were out there enforcing. He said, and those can be up to 200 pounds.
I mean, wild
you don't
cats?
Want that coming through. Panthers.
Wow.
Florida Panthers. Actual Panthers down here in the... I told you, it's a wildlife update. That's where I live down here in the land of the Panther. That's the way it is.
Wow. I've never even heard of such a thing.
Yeah, they've had multiple Panthers that... and they're an endangered species, and they're down here.
Well, God, especially if people don't slow down.
Isn't that terrible, though? They're out there at night. I guess they come out at night and they get, you know, they like the road at night. I have no idea why, but that was, I was pretty much stunned. And then I did a little Q&A with the cop, you know, saying, so do they come out primarily at night? He said, yes. And I said, and they can weigh up to, they say, up to 200 pounds. They can be big and they can really mess you up and they can kill you, you know, but it's, they have it all the time. And there were more cops on this road than I've ever seen. It was just one after the other. And they were doing the enforcement, which I think is kind of cool.
Sure.
Because they're trying to cut down on these Panthers. The speed limit is 55 during the day, 65 during the day, 45 at night.
Because that's 20 mile discrepancy.
Wow. For years, you're down here. You come down to South Florida, you see Panther Crossing. There's the proof of it that you got to be careful when you go out there. That's that's kind of
it. They should build a sky bridge.
For the Panthers?
Yes. Well, you know, they didn't they try to do that in L.A.?
I just saw a story in L.A. to get the mountain lions or the cougars.
Because it's so crowded out there. There's such a dense population.
They're thinking of spending millions of tax dollars, and people are fighting about that now because L.A. is so broke, to build a sky bridge for these cougars.
They're not going to go across a bridge. They're animals. You have to train them to do that.
If that's the only way to go across.
Hmm. Well, I built one down here. I mean, I'm trying to fund one down here, but it's not for Panthers. It's for pugs. For screaming pugs.
Mike, I saw your pug sky bridge. It was a piece of steak in the middle of the road.
Yes, very excited. That's all it is. Yeah. He's blind, too. Partially blind. We found that out. Beluga.
Oh, that's a shame.
His
eyes
say, yeah, I know. It's pretty sad. No, he's gonna be fine. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Happy Monday.
Hi, this is Carrie Spiewak. You know, Rob's wife, ya humps. You know what I've been doing a lot lately besides cultivating a relationship with my new BFF, Mike O'Mara? Well, I've been thinking about Rob Spiewak's bag. Sure, the big guy does me and the kids a solid each and every day by running the boards and pretty much being in charge of everything over there at the Mike O'Mara Show. But my favorite thing about him, you may ask? Well, his bag, of course. His bag is one of my favorite features, baby dolls. You know, if you send Rob a note to rob@mikeomarashow.com, that's Rob with two B's, I'm sure they'll get around to reading it come Thursday or whatnot. Just like he gets around to rubbing my feet every night. Ha ha, Paris. Please send along your letters to fill up the Mike O'Mara Show mailbag and help keep my husband employed.
Okay.
Because God knows I'd be hating that retail.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Trunk Club. No matter what time of year it is, you got to make every second count. That means looking your best. Trunk Club is here to handle your wardrobe so you can focus on what really matters. Trunk Club makes shopping easy by finding the best clothes for you and your style so you look great and always have the perfect clothes for the season. At trunkclub.com/TMOS, you simply answer some questions about yourself and you're assigned an expert stylist. Before you know it, a trunk arrives at your doorstep. It's filled with hand-picked clothes, perfect for you. Hand-picked clothes just for you from the best brands. Keep what you like, send back what you don't. Just use the prepaid trunk for easy returns. And remember, Trunk Club is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you like. No hidden charges, just great clothes. Let Trunk Club make you look great in clothes picked just for you. Start today and Trunk Club will style you for free. Plus, free shipping both ways. You only pay for the clothes you keep. Just go to trunkclub.com/TMOS. That's trunkclub.com/TMOS. A trunk filled with clothes that you will love. And, you know, I think we've all enjoyed our relationships with our stylists at Trunk Club. They really, really know what you're doing. And they realize that we're a bunch of mooks, too, that don't know how to pick out our own clothes. And you will get help. So go to Trunk Club. Do it today. That's trunkclub.com/TMOS.
News.
Deadpool held on to the top spot at the box office this weekend, taking in $55 million. Kung Fu Panda was second with $12.5 million. As for new movies this weekend, Risen made $11.8 million, The Witch made $8.7 million, and the Jesse Owens movie Race took in $7.3 million. So not a record, but did pretty well. To Kill a Mockingbird author Harper Lee passed away Friday at her home in Alabama. She was 89. There were reports that she was in failing health for the last several years, but her agent said she was full of life when he saw her 6 weeks ago. Well, boy, was he wrong.
Yeah, he's not a doctor, obviously.
Mockingbird, which you know we all read in school, was published in 1960 and told the story of a white lawyer in the Jim Crow South who defended a black man wrongly accused of raping a white woman. How far we've come. It was a critical and commercial success and even won the Pulitzer Prize. The movie came out in 1962 and won three Oscars, including a Best Actor Oscar for Gregory Peck. It also featured a very young Robert Duvall. I think maybe that was Robert Duvall's first movie.
I think it is his first. And also, it's required viewing if you ever want to work on a Gregory Peck impression.
Gregory Peck.
Exactly.
This is Gregory Peck. What about the boy? See, my Gregory Peck is done with The Omen. We must kill the boy.
But the roots are in Mockingbird, I think.
I'm an attorney. A few years after the book came out, Harper Lee vanished from public life and never wrote another book. She did help her childhood friend Truman Capote write In Cold Blood. Did you ever know that?
I knew that I knew that they knew each other. I didn't know she worked on In Cold Blood with him, though. That's fascinating.
She never really got credit for it, but it says that she did that. So, you know, rest comfortably, Harper Lee. Add Deep Purple to the list of bands that can't put aside their decades-old differences and give the fans what they really want to see at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Singer Ian Gillan announced that the band that will play during the ceremony is the current band.
Oh, I hate that.
I could care less. The Gillan, that's Gillan drummer Ian Pace and bassist Roger Glover, who are all inductees. But it also includes guitarist Steve Morse and keyboardist Don Airey, who are not. That leaves out several members who are not being inducted, who are being inducted but won't be there, including David Coverdale, Glenn Hughes, and most importantly, guitarist Richie Blackmore.
Sort of
where
the soul
do you weigh
of the band.
In on?
I mean, he's sort
well,
of
if you get inducted, it's always messy. I've seen a lot of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions where they kind of bring up a hybrid of people.
Yeah,
know?
But I mean, it's,
if somebody dies, that's understandable. But if everybody's still living.
Yeah, and he is, I mean, he is the name that you know. If you know a name from Deep Purple, you know Richie Blackmore's name. And it's right. This is his sound. It's ridiculous they can't get it together.
I wonder what the strife is all about.
And besides, if they were to get together, they would all realize at least $200, $250 extra dollars because of the excitement.
Gillan said this isn't a slight to any past members, but a mark of respect to the guys currently in the band. That's BS. That's transparent.
Yeah, the band that is currently playing converted movie theaters in suburban cities.
He also said he talked to Coverdale, who totally understood. This sounds like so bandy. Now Richie released a statement saying he was told he's banned, so he's not attending the ceremony, but that's not true. The current band may not want him to perform, but they have no right to ban him. You know, I don't know. I don't really care. It's, you know, it's just interesting.
I think they should honor the band that made the records that gets the band honored, if that makes any sense. I mean, the guys, the replacement guys, the 25-year-old guys didn't play on Smoke on the Water. Richie Blackmore right. did. It's his award, you know?
Should be the guys that did that.
Yeah. Absolutely. True.
The website Thrillist just ranked every state by how miserable the winters are. They factored in things like the average temperatures, how much people there hate the cold weather, and how its sports teams do in bad weather.
Hooray for sports teams.
I love that. The 10 states that have the most miserable winters are Minnesota.
Minnesota, sure.
Michigan. Alaska. North Dakota. Maine,
oh.
South Dakota, Wisconsin, Idaho, Montana, and Massachusetts.
Mm. So, wow.
There it is.
All very Virginia northern places. Yeah, Virginia.
Weird.
We dodged it. Dodged the bullet, Oscar.
The least brutal winters, Colorado was on the list, even though they have tough winters, but they like their winters. They like their skiing and all that
and
good
they're
stuff,
all so. Smoking pot.
Yes, they are.
They
they're all
care.
High. They're high on
bunch
the game.
Of potheads.
That's the way that. A woman named Troy Walker from Farmington, Utah, bought 30 cans of Western Family Fancy Green Beans at a grocery store last week. 30 cans. You gotta love you the green beans for that. Then she opened one of them, dumped the beans into her slow cooker, and started making them. Nothing like a can of green beans.
Slow cooked green beans, Mike.
As she was scooping them out, she noticed something that looked like eyes on one of the green beans.
Oh.
When she picked it up and looked closer, she realized it wasn't a green bean. It was a severed snake's head. She dropped the head and screamed. Then she went to the grocery store, got a refund for all 30 cans. Yes, three.
That's and, good. Stand behind it.
She sent a photo of the head to Western Family to make sure that, quote, nobody else would get the body.
That's funny.
Western Family, a brand I've never seen, says it's investigating, and they suspended their shipments of other cans from that batch. So
Western Family snake beans, Mike. Enjoy. Enjoy.
Snake beans are delicious. And now a little something something. 30-year-old Jonathan Matthews of Norfolk, Nebraska, was caught shoplifting at a Walmart on Thursday, but managed to run away before the cops got there. And his master getaway plan was digging a hole in a pile of snow and hiding inside. Yeah. As the cops were searching around for him, they saw the fresh hole, which led them to Jonathan.
Of course.
They also found his plastic baggie of meth that was in there with him after he shoplifted. So I guess Jonathan is now really going to the cooler. Am I right, ladies? Yeah! That's it. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio ball right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary Stein.
And Gary is back live in the studio with us. Woohoo!
I'd hate to be here dead.
Yeah, me too. Are you feeling good?
I'm feeling real good. How do I look?
Well, you feel good.
Yeah, now I know I'm back.
Are you ready to make some Oscar picks?
Yes, but not in the way you expect.
Oh, great. Be sure to check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a 5-star review and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
Buy a t-shirt.
There it is.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. You've heard me talk about my Sleep Number bed and how great I sleep. Maybe you were thinking about getting yourself a Sleep Number bed, but you thought, can I really afford one? Well, can you afford another restless night's sleep? Here's great news. Right now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, you can save 50% on a limited edition bed. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal firmness, and it adjusts on each side, so it's the perfect bed for couples. She has it one way, you have it the other way. And by adding options like Sleep IQ technology, you can track and optimize your sleep. Whether it's adjusting your Sleep Number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you'll always know what's working because Sleep IQ tells you. My Sleep Number is an 85. Carlos is a 65. I had a 93 Sleep IQ score last night. You will only find Sleep Number at a Sleep Number store. Come in during their Ultimate Sleep Number event where you can save 50% on a limited edition bed. Plus, all beds are on sale, including the Queen C2 mattress, now only $599.99. No better sleep with Sleep Number. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. Don't forget to get the room's attention by rubbing a finger up side of your nose and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. All right, everybody, that's fantastic. Thank you. And now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Monday, February 22, 2016. Take it away, Red.
Do you get excited, Mike? Do you get excited when a personal friend...
I'm excited right now.
When a personal friend of yours wins a big sporting event like the Daytona 500?
Yes, I, you know, I feel guilty because I commented on the fact that Denny Hamlin won, but I was not watching it. I was not actually watching one of the, apparently, the greatest Daytona 500 in history.
He won seriously by like 8 inches. It was one one-hundredth of a second.
Saw the replay.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. And also, we'll reveal your relationship with Denny Hamlin after we hear this thrilling bit of tape.
Hamlin a second. Up high.
Watch the inside. Mark Truex Jr. three wide.
Truex to the bottom. No,
Kenseth saves it. Here they come to the line. This is the finish of the Daytona 500. Side by side, bouncing off each other.
I think it was Denny Hamlin.
I have it as Hamlin.
Hamlin by an inch.
What
Denny
a
Hamlin. By
oh,
my goodness. Is that the TV broadcast or the radio? What the hell's going on with that?
That's the TV broadcast, and they have the headphone stuff mixed into the sound. But it is.
Jesus.
A little layered.
Sports coverage for
a little
ABD.
Too layered.
Yeah,
my
it's a little
God.
Rackety. But he did win by, seriously, like 6 inches at, what, hundreds of miles an hour? And your relationship with him, Mike, of course.
Well, no. Normally you see that with a horse race. Back in the day, Denny Hamlin, it was pandemonium. Everybody said, Denny Hamlin, you know, I'm not a big NASCAR fan, so I really didn't know who he was. And so then the word got around that he was in my joint, and suddenly it's like a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, and people start pouring in because it got around town, and it's Manassas.
Sure.
So,
you
know, people dig it. And so he came in, and I ended up chatting with him. We're talking about marriage. We were talking about everything else. We partied till my place closed, and I invited him back to my house afterwards with a bunch of folks, and we ended up having Denny Hamlin sitting on my kitchen floor getting his face licked by my Great Pyrenees dog. It was interesting back then, and I remember is that the following day it was tough to make the bell. I'd had a quite a night on
make
a Wednesday
the bell.
Night. Yeah. It was a little tough, and Dom was thrilled about it.
I'm sure he was.
Dom was felt great joy that I'd been with a NASCAR driver the night before and told me as much.
Okay. Yeah. It was a great weekend, Mike. Would it be a centenarian? Is that people that are 100 years or older? I know you've probably seen the 106-year-old lady that finally got to meet President Obama and actually danced in the Oval Office with Michelle. Great viral video. Also, in Spokane, a woman turned 110 years old. Her name, Mike, Flossie Dickey. And Flossie was being interviewed by...
Flossie Dickey?
Flossie Dickey. Yes, exactly.
I think I saw a chat group about that one time.
Yes, please don't Google it.
It's very painful.
They invited her to be on the local Spokane Morning News. And let me tell you something. Flossie was thrilled.
Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
She is very tired. That's actually, I heard, your favorite activity to do at the center here is to take a little nap.
Take a nap many times as I can.
Later today, Flossie's family is going to be coming out here to throw you a big birthday party. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
You would rather be taking a nap, huh? Yeah. Flossie, the people on TV want to know what the secret is to being able to live so long.
I don't know. I don't fight it. I live it.
So she seems fun.
She just wants a dirt nap.
She is how old?
She's 110.
110. Flossie Dickey.
Can I hear? I just want to play the first part of that interview one more time.
Yeah, the first part's the best.
The first part is the best.
Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
Get that one. Send me that one, please.
And all you need when you're 110 years old with one foot in the grave is to have some Holly Morris wannabe screaming at you.
Hey, Flossie, what's the secret to living that long?
Hey, I just wanted to know if I'm 110 years old.
Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
Oh, Flossie.
Just that. Flossie. In the instant replay, please.
Last night they did the all-star tribute to James Burrows, who directed so many TV shows.
I saw,
going back to even like the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I thought it was a wonderful evening.
It was a great J.O., and the thing that I thought was most fascinating, and I know that this is the one thing Oscar would want me to spotlight, there is a long-standing Hollywood rumor that the Friends cast had to sign an agreement not to sleep with each other, lest there be, you know, friction on the set. They put that to bed.
I had to do that at a radio station one time.
Really? Was it you and Sean Hall?
Hey, how you doing? How's it going?
Not Sean Hall.
Hey, I'm Jack Diamond.
Not allowed to sleep with him?
Well, we didn't have to sign anything. It was just kind of dictated. There might have been a memo.
Actually, I have tape. I have tape of Jack Diamond from that radio.
No fraternization.
Tape of Jack Diamond.
I'm the only one that gets to bang her.
Oh,
hello.
And that's the first time you met Flossie, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Flossie. It was Flossie Dickey. We referred to it, Gene Baxter and I referred to it as the Flossie Dickey memo.
She was only 85 then.
Then we had a mutiny.
Here's the rule about sleeping with each other on the set of Friends.
So, guys, is it true? Did you all sign contracts saying that you wouldn't sleep with each other? There's so many
rumors about the show.
I was not asked to sign anything like that.
You were not asked to sign it.
So they sort of implying that maybe there was some action backstage there. They had the
Phoebe's Flossie Dickie.
Oh yeah, Phoebe, how are you? I feel tired.
I'm feeling tired. Hey, thank you.
There was the iHeartRadio concert over the weekend, and what they do is they'll introduce someone who's famous to introduce a band.
Yes,
and they brought out the Mike. Good to know that Culture Club is back together, and they brought out Kris Jenner to introduce Culture Club. The crowd was not into Kris Jenner.
Here to introduce Culture Club, she's the momager of the century, star of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kris Jenner.
Good evening.
Good.
From the moment I heard about Boy George back in the 80s, I was completely obsessed, not only with his music, but inspired by his amazing fashion and style. I wanted the hat, the eyebrows, lip, and the blush.
And that goes on for like
30
more seconds.
That's like normally reserved for a politician.
I know.
Is horrible. Wow.
This is the actual, there was one great moment from the iHeartRadio concert. And I think this is what we'll close with.
Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
That was Boy George. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into our mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.